Hoosier Ag This Week, the weekly review of Indiana agriculture. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today. We have a new planting forecast with our chief meteorologist, Ryan Martin. As planting season wraps up, Eric Pfeiffer is here today, too. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Andy. Other news we'll cover today are the newbies. National FFA announced a new leader this week. And during a new Purdue Crop Chat recording, we met the new Purdue Corn Guy. You'll meet him, too. And the Purdue specialist will update us on corn and soybeans that are in the ground and growing.
Eric, you've had a very busy week. First, on Monday, it was off to the farm of the Purdue Tyler Trent Award winner, a College of Ag grad, and then meeting with the milk people for this year's Indy 500 and a couple of drivers. And you met with them on Tuesday. We will hear from all of them today. Now, it's been a somewhat soggy finish to the week, but what weather do we welcome next? This planting weather forecast is presented by Seed Genetics Direct, the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for pricing and more information. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says the number one weather story over the holiday weekend, cooler air.
We actually saw this cooler air push into the Eastern Corn Belt back overnight, Wednesday night into Thursday. Behind the front that came through Friday, we are going to see an even cooler surge of air that settles in over the Eastern Corn Belt. Do we think that it's damaging or concerning? No, but it definitely is going to kind of slow things down just a little bit. The cooler air, in my opinion, sticks around for several days. Pleasant, let's call it, for Saturday, and pleasant to slightly warmer for Sunday and Monday. But we do finally get back to closer to normal temperatures by midweek next week.
Martin says there will not be moisture during the weekend, even though Saturday starts cloudy. The dry weather period does include Memorial Day Monday.
Even Tuesday is dry, but now I have to put moisture into the forecast for most of the rest of next week. Wednesday, hit and miss scattered showers around 60% coverage, anywhere from a few hundreds to a few tenths. Same thing Thursday. Friday, mostly it's over southern Indiana, but we won't rule it out anywhere. And then Saturday, Sunday, the 5th and 6th, hit and miss scattered showers are back, anywhere from a few hundreds to maybe 4 or 5 tenths or so. So we're moving into an active pattern that does not feature a lot of drying. At this point, though, with planting mostly done, that is probably not an all bad forecast. It's just not quite ideal.
The planting weather forecast is also brought to you by Risk Management Commodities, the Indiana Corn Marketing Council, and Indiana Soybean Alliance. Ladies and gentlemen and milk drinkers, start your engines for the 105th running of the Indianapolis 500 Sunday. Eric Pfeiffer here with more.
Each year, an Indiana dairy farmer hands out the most prized drink in all of sports, an ice-cold bottle of milk to the winner of the Indy 500. This year, that honor goes to Jill Huian from Homestead Dairy in Plymouth, Indiana. Huian says this is an opportunity to share with the world the dairy story and to express how hard dairy farmers work to put milk on the table.
During this hard time of the pandemic, they didn't stop working. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, working to get milk to the table and to the stores. And then they were working on donating coolers and milk products to food pantries during this time. So I think just more and more people that understand how passionate and compassionate dairy farmers are for their community and for future generations. It's just amazing to have the chance to share with so many people.
Assisting Huian this year will be rookie milk person Tim Haynes from Superior Dairy in Garrett, Indiana. The race car drivers certainly love the tradition of guzzling milk after a big win. Joseph Newgarden, driver of the number 2 car from Team Penske, told Hat they appreciate the work of dairy farmers across the U.S.
The dairy farmers absolutely work their butts off, you know, to try and produce the necessary milk that we all need in society to, you know, to keep our lives moving forward and to provide the nutritious milk that people drink every day or use every day in food. But obviously for us, you know, we're very thankful to that group for honoring this tradition of the 500 and providing, you know, that tasty milk at the end of the race if you're hopefully the lucky winner. So thanks to all of the dairy farmers in the United States and certainly the Dairy Association of Indiana. It's just such a great tradition to be able to share with that group and everything and all the work that they put in, you know, to supply that product for all the people around the United States.
Newgarden and 20 other drivers in the field chose whole milk as their preference if they find their way to victory lane. The rest of the 33-car field chose 2%. Check out more with Hooian, Haynes, Newgarden, and this year's fastest rookie, Pietro Fittipaldi, in the video at HoosierAgToday.com. Bob Nielsen has been the Purdue corn guy for decades, but he recently went halftime as he prepares to retire this year or next. With that, Purdue has a new corn guy. Dan Quinn is the new Purdue Extension corn specialist.
I'm originally from central Michigan, so grew up in a farming family up there in between Grand Rapids and Lansing. I was able to do my education at Michigan State, so I did a bachelor's and master's in crop and soil science at Michigan State. I'm working in everything from corn, soybeans, sugar beets, potatoes, all of the above. But I really got introduced to extension, applied research, kind of fell in love with it. And I moved down to Lexington, Kentucky for my PhD. So I worked at the University of Kentucky for the last 3 years. Worked a lot with corn and cover crops.
Quinn says he's excited to be in Indiana and is really looking forward to meeting farmers and working with them.
There's a lot of corn in this state. There's a lot of really good corn farmers in this state. A lot of good soils, just good production. So being able to work with those folks and getting to work with everyone across the state and getting research out there and getting to meet and speak with everyone, that's a big learning thing for me. I apologize, Bob, but Bob's been doing this longer than I've been alive.
That hurts.
So just learning everything I can. I'm so excited to learn from the folks in this state. Just great people from what I've seen so far, great farmers. It's just a great state to be.
You can hear more from Quinn as he joins Nielsen and Extension soybean specialist Sean Castile in the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast, found now at HoosierAgToday.com. Let's turn our attention now to the markets and welcome back Andy Eubank.
Thank you, Eric. And after a massive rally on Thursday, the grains and oil seeds sold off to end the week as we head into a three-day weekend. We have numbers coming up. First, market analysis from Bob Utterback of Utterback Marketing Services. He calls this period, the last 2 weeks or so, some of the toughest times he's ever seen.
It's been as difficult in my professional career. This is probably in the top three. This is equal, if not worse, than 88. And 2012, it's on the same par. Less than 15 days ago, we thought was going to $10 corn and $20 beans. Now, the market is struggling to keep itself from going a dollar lower and beans going back where it started. So the market is getting, the bull has lost some of his confidence, the bearer is confident, but he got probably blown out on the upside. So both the bull and bear have been hurt, but the funds are still long. And as we look forward now into June, I think the market has probably established its high and its low for the next 30 days. And there'll be a lot of activity with the range, but the ability to make new highs, new lows, I think will be difficult.
Bob Utterback, Utterback Marketing Services. His number, 800-832-1488. Now, Friday settlements, 7 3/4 lower. July corn, 656 3/4. September dips 12 1/4. And December almost double digits down, 545 1/2, losing 9 1/2 cents. July soybeans, 1530 1/2, 6 1/2 lower. The August, 1482 down a nickel and a quarter. Novi, 5 1/2 off at 1372 3/4. July wheat, 663 1/2. That was 12 3/4 lower. In the meat markets, it was mixed with August live cattle, 118.60, 82 cents off, but a strong hog market to end the week. July lean hogs, 119.35, up 265. You're up to date now on the markets. I'm Andy Eubank on Hoosier Ag this week.
For nearly a century, your local farmer-owned cooperative has served this community by delivering outstanding customer service, industry expertise, quality products, and leading-edge technology to our agriculture and energy partners. Today, we're committed to cultivating success in the communities we call home by providing America's farmers with the supplies and outstanding service they need to do their part to feed the world. Agronomy, liquid fuels, home heat, grain marketing, animal nutrition, feed, and more. CoAlliance, your local farmer-owned cooperative, continues to be your resource for whatever the day, month, or season brings your way.
It's a chilly holiday weekend. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Weekend Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. If you've got seed in the ground, this is probably an okay scenario that we've seen unfold over the past few days and going forward, because you don't have any more planting to do. If acres are left for you, I will admit this is not the nicest setup. We are just removed from getting about 2 inches of rain over most of the state out of two weather systems this past week. We are going to be dry all weekend long, rain-free for your Saturday with clouds giving way to sunshine, and then fully sunny for Sunday and Memorial Day Monday. I even think we are sunny as we move through Tuesday, the day after the holiday weekend. But I will say that with the unsettled weather forecast pattern returns for the second part of this week. Right now, I'm willing to say Wednesday is probably mostly dry. We have to allow for a few scattered showers, maybe down near the Ohio River, developing Wednesday midday and afternoon. But overnight, Wednesday night through Thursday, hit and miss scattered showers. I can't rule it out again on Friday. And then Saturday, we are looking at some moisture trying to circulate through as well. The biggest threats Thursday and Friday, both days we can see a tenth to maybe half an inch with coverage around 60% on Thursday, 70% on Friday. I think as you go into Saturday, this is the wild card. I'm going to say 30% coverage right now, a few hundredths to maybe a tenth or two, but time will tell. Moving through the later part of the weekend, Sunday the 6th into Monday the 7th, we turn out partly to mostly sunny, and I think we stay dry into Tuesday the 8th. The questions then start to abound as we move through the rest of the extended 11 to 16 day forecast window. Right now, I think we can be dry through next Wednesday, but Thursday, Friday, we likely have to pay attention to at least a little bit of moisture trying to pop up. It's not exceptionally well organized at this point in time, but I can't rule out scattered showers. The next frontal boundary shows up for the 10th, bringing anywhere from a tenth to half an inch and 80% coverage. Behind that front, we go dry again for the 11th and 12th. Have to watch for some showers sagging south out of the Great Lakes for Sunday the 13th. So there you go. Do we see a wide open planting available window here? Not necessarily. I mean, I will say that we are dry for the next 4 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Shoot, throw Wednesday in there as well for all areas except southern Indiana. So that's 5 days of dry weather. The question is, with the cool temperatures, do we get enough evaporation after the rains that we've seen here as of late to be able to actually do anything with this dry window? And that's going to be a game-time decision, location-by-location decision as well. That's your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Spring is finally here. Make sure your Case IH equipment is ready for the long haul with genuine Case IH parts from Bain Welker Equipment. Enjoy the peace of mind knowing that you're getting the very best parts for your equipment. Be ready with genuine Case IH parts from Bain Welker. Stop in and see your nearest dealer or visit Bain-Welker.com. 6 Ohio locations and 9 in Indiana. Bain Welker Equipment, employee-owned, customer-focused.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week, where we run down the top news in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. The latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast is live now at HoosierAgToday.com and Apple Podcasts. Purdue Extension corn specialist Bob Nielsen and soybean specialist Sean Castile discuss the progression of the crops and where we stand currently. A couple of weeks ago, Nielsen and Castile were concerned about stand issues, but now...
I really just have not seen that, and I haven't heard much of it, and I'm thankful for that, but I mean, the places that had ponds, I mean, that's sure. No doubt. That's an easy one. Yeah, no corn, year. No soybeans. They're used to that. Go back and fill in the Swiss cheese holes. But as far as this gradient, I'm just not seeing it. I don't know if you're seeing the same thing or
only,
not.
Only bits and pieces. It's certainly not rampant. And yeah, we were certainly fear-mongering a couple weeks ago about this. But no, and the corn's the same way. I mean, I've seen, other than the wet holes, the same thing. Yeah. Being gone, I've seen few fields that look poorly. And the other thing I'd comment is, you know, a couple weeks ago we were talking about how ugly the corn and beans were looking on color. The corn has really greened up nice, and a lot of that's attributed to these warm temperatures we've had, that it's finally got some photosynthesis really cranked up and going in response to the warmth. So, I mean, knock on wood, I think we're off to a pretty good start this year.
You can hear more from Nielsen, Castile, and new Purdue Extension corn specialist Dan Quinn in the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast now at HoosierAgToday.com. Just click on the Purdue Crop Chat tab at the top of the page. The dairy industry is preparing for National Dairy Month in June. One of the ways Dairy Management Inc. is celebrating is by targeting a new market, Gen Z. Here's Ashley Davenport with more.
According to Amy Warden, Executive Vice President of Communications, these individuals are between 10 and 23 years old and have an estimated spending power of $100 billion.
Gen Z is transforming just about how every sector markets their products. They are a highly savvy audience, one that exists almost entirely in a digital world. They are moving between multiple devices a day, multiple media platforms a day. And we know they're really cognizant of whether companies and brands are doing good things for consumers beyond just making money, and that they're going to turn against products that they don't think match their values.
This constant digital presence is a vehicle for them to hear opinions on what food is nutritious and not. Warden says there's an increased disconnect between these individuals and where their food comes from.
And that leads to growing questions about whether dairy is good for animals, whether it's good for the environment. And that all adds up to making it really critical that we make sure that they understand that milk and dairy, one, it has unparalleled combination of nutrients. Two, it is made with care. And three, of course, we know it has a taste that just can't be matched.
As a result, Dairy Management Incorporated has launched its Beat the Lag campaign to connect Dairy Story to that audience through video games.
About 90% of Gen Z games, and it shows no sign of slowing. It comes on the heels of some other game activations we did last fall that brought dairy farming and dairy farmers' care for the environment to life through the game Minecraft. And now we're using gaming to help reposition milk and dairy to meet Gen Z's wellness needs. We think that human gamers can have their own lag going on, and dairy is just the way to help them beat that.
They're partnering with YouTube gamer Jordan Marin, a.k.a. Captain Sparkles, and culinary and gaming influencer Rosanna Pacino. They're offering prizes to their fans. You can learn more about Beat the Lag by clicking on this story on our website. I'm Ashley Davenport.
The National FFA Organization and National FFA Foundation have found their new CEO. Hoosier native and Purdue graduate Scott Stump will lead the organizations beginning June 21st. Stump has a long history with FFA.
Growing up with deep roots in FFA and agriculture education, with my dad being a veteran teacher for 37 years in Indiana and influencing hundreds, if not thousands, of students and community members, I know the power and impact of this organization, and it had that impact on me and my children. And so to be able to step into the role, to come alongside a tremendous national staff, committed state leaders, and local teachers that are just willing to do what's needed to make a difference in the lives of students, I can't be happier and more excited about the future.
Stump began his career as an agriculture teacher in Manchester, Indiana, where he taught for 2 years. He then worked for the National FFA organization, where he managed the National Officer Team and the National FFA Convention and Expo. In July 2018, he was confirmed by the U.S. Senate to serve as the Assistant Secretary of Career, Technical, and Adult Education for the U.S. Department of Education, where he served until January. Stump says the future is bright for FFA.
The first step is really coming together with the board and devising a bold and future-oriented strategic plan that takes into account the changes that are going on in our industry, that really aligns with what our employers or the businesses that our students need to be starting, and really focusing on how can we, through FFA, really grow and meet the needs that are out there, both for the agriculture ecosystem, but then also making sure that our learners are equipped and prepared and ready to step forward and boldly lead that next generation, provide next generation leadership to the communities that they're in and the work that they do.
Stump replaces Mark Peschel, who resigned in January after leading the organization for 5 years. Have you ever just thrown food out after the use-by, freeze-by, or sell-by dates on the packaging have passed? USDA Food and Waste Liaison Jean Busby says she knows there's a lot of confusion surrounding those dates, so that's why USDA created a fact sheet explaining the dates and the safety of that food.
Manufacturers provide date labels to help consumers and retailers decide when food is of best quality. Except for infant formula, dates are not an indicator of the product's safety and are not required by federal law.
Busby adds,
if the date on a food product passes during home storage, it should still be safe and wholesome if handled properly until spoilage is evident.
So no need to throw it away right away. You can read the fact sheet at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today.
Just in time for National Dairy Month this June, American Dairy Association Indiana is proud to announce the Indiana Cheese Trail, opening June 10th. Indiana is home to 10 cheese-making locations, many producing award-winning cheeses, Colby, Cheddar, Monterey Jack, and more. Learn about the Indiana Cheese Trail at IndianaCheeseTrail.com. Log on and check out the cheese and support Indiana's cheesemakers. Brought to you by American Dairy Association Indiana and WinnersDrinkMilk.com.
Mark your calendar for December 14 through 16 to attend the Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo. Hey, it may be the first indoor farm show you get to attend in 2021. Exhibitors, space reservations are now open, so get your contracted details at IndianaFarmExpo.com. And remember, the show has a new location, the Grand Park facility in Westfield, Indiana. The Indiana Farm Equipment and Technology Expo, December 14 through 16.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. Sustainability and innovation top the list of priorities for U.S. soybean farmers, as both are connected to driving value back to the farm. United Soybean Board Director Mark Seib, an Indiana farmer, says the U.S. soybean industry strives to be a global leader in sustainability.
And by 2025, we aim to further reduce the land use, soil erosion, greenhouse gas emissions, and while increasing energy efficiency. You know, sustainability and profitability go hand in hand, and build that reputation of our product is very important as well.
Additionally, finding new uses for soybeans helps create more demand and more profitability.
We continue to promote new technology that creates market demand and competitive advantage for the U.S. soybean. One way the checkoff has supported this goal is through the Soy Innovation Challenge, and that program brings ag tech startups and teams to try to disrupt the current soybean value chain and develop new ways to create value for the soybean farmers.
Seib says research conducted by the Soybean Checkoff pays off, providing improvements to soybeans and soybean demand.
We continue to research ways to provide high-quality soy products that meet the need of the end user. Animal agriculture is our number one customer, so funding research is important, and protein content and quality of our soybeans is a top priority. Soy also provides multiple industry uses, such as in tires, asphalt, motor oil, dust suppression for gravel roads, and biodiesel.
Keep up with the latest news from the United Soybean Board at unitedsoybean.org. Fungicides and plant health. How do the two go hand in hand? Here's Andy Eubank.
The benefits of fungicides. Certainly it's disease control, but more and more we talk about plant health and improved plant health with fungicides. Here to talk more about that is Chad Threewitz with Syngenta. Chad is an agronomy service representative. Talk about the relationship between fungicides, Chad, and better plant health and your own Syngenta TrivaPro.
Yeah, Andy, I think it's really about reducing stress. If I would like to, you know, put it all in one bucket, and there's lots of benefits of TrivaPro fungicide that can help do that. One of those under really, you know, droughty conditions, it can help improve water use efficiency in the plant, keeping that plant from shutting down completely when it gets dry. We can, and that in turn will give us quicker canopy to closure and keep the bottom part of the plant shaded. So really helping help reduce that transpiration. And then later in the season, prolong that grain fill period, right? So the longer we can keep the plant working without shutting down or we would say dying down early because of disease or environmental stresses, that's going to really benefit us. And one thing I've seen from whether we're spraying early applications or later applications, it's providing stronger stocks.
Chad Threewitz with Syngenta and with TrivaPro. Always read and follow label instructions. I'm Andy Eubank. Who's your ag today?
Kyle Albertson, a recent Purdue graduate from Fowler, Indiana, is this year's recipient of the Tyler Trent Courage and Resilience Award from Purdue. Albertson, who studied in the College of Agriculture, was diagnosed at 9 months old with congenital muscular dystrophy, which causes progressive weakness and loss of muscle mass. He has battled and beaten challenges that few even have to consider.
So I have been in a wheelchair since I was 3 years old, so I am fully wheelchair bound, so I can't do many physical tasks, but I have I've gotten my license. I can drive a modified van, so I'm really good with joysticks. That's how I drive my van, how I drive my chair, all the drones. So it's all kind of second nature to me.
Albertson knew he wanted to get into agriculture in some way, and he found that he was very good with flying drones. That's why he started Albertson Drone Service, which specializes in photography, crop monitoring, drone spraying, and drone spreading. And he is the first licensed drone spraying contractor in Indiana.
Many people think I, you know, see me overcoming resilience and all this stuff. But to me, I really don't feel like I overcome a whole lot because I've never really known anything different. It's just like with this drone business, I can't do a lot of other stuff in agriculture. And I thought, well, this is something I can do, I'm good at, so why not jump in on that? And, you know, I always find a way to make it work. So I was very humbled to be selected and, you know, honor Tyler's legacy.
Kyle's mental toughness and ability to achieve the fullness of life in spite of the obstacles represents everything that the Tyler Trent Award stands for, says Purdue University President Mitch Daniels, adding, quote, "He defines a Boilermaker, a person who overcomes genuine adversity and leads others by example. I am inspired by his story. How could one not be?" Congratulations, Kyle Albertson. You can read more about Albertson at HoosierAgToday.com. And with that, you are now up to date on all things Indiana agriculture. Stay that way by tuning in each and every weekday to this Hat Station and by visiting us at HoosierAgToday.com. Enjoy the race, enjoy your holiday weekend, as we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.